Let's call the meeting order. We'll go on record. Committee substitute for House Bill 208. And Sam, did you want to speak on the bill?
Not particularly. I can't find anything wrong with it. But I consider it so much in the legal entity of life that I'm not too. I'll answer any questions that I might. Sam Granato, Director of Social Services.
I think the main thing that I'm concerned with in the bill, it purports certainly to be for the ultimate best benefit of the child. And that's pretty much the way you read the bill.
I would read the bill as basically very positive in the best interest of children to clarify which court has authority over the child. I think it's much better than getting into a situation where there is confusion and conflict and trails on and on and on, and the child is sitting in foster care somewhere. The kind of concern we have from time to time as social workers, which we might describe sometimes as over-concern, is that occasionally we would like to see a child, something settled down until all the information is clear for our court to make a decision. We have had cases where it's been this kind of situation where the court in the other state has demanded that the child be returned immediately, and the information we have shows that this child's been bounced around for a long period of time, and we've tried to hold the children steady until we could get a good historical picture to see to it that court once and for all had as many facts before it as possible in the other state. But that's only occasional. I think the gains in this bill, far override some of our own little nervousness as social workers about these things. We can deal with that.
Any questions, Mr. Bennett? Okay, thank you very much. I had one question about, I guess, the Carlisle for the problem.
Right.
Join us again. On page 3, line 22 of the bill, in the line 22, notice under this section shall be served, mailed, delivered, or published at least 20 days before any hearing in the state. Is the published thing, is that normal?
Yes, it is. It's normal when you have not been able to locate a defendant, and the usual practice is to submit what's called an affidavit of diligent inquiry to the court before the court will permit you to publish, showing that you have made all sorts of efforts to contact the person through relatives, through checking with motor vehicle bureaus, and once you submit such an affidavit, the court will permit you to publish.
Okay, but there's no requirement of that where other means are satisfactory, like for service or mailing.
Section C, that section says proof of service shall be made according to the provisions of Rule 4 of the Rules of Civil Procedure. Rule 4 makes it clear that publication is the last resort for personal service, or and now service by certified mail or registered mail is preferable.
Mr. Chairman, as a practical matter, when you publish, you're virtually certain that the other party won't be there, and you're just moving for a default judgment. And it's almost a technicality.
It seemed to me that Mr. Johnson had mentioned that in his testimony first when he was here the first time, that publicity and connection, was the last requirement.
Ironically, Mr. Chairman, publication has been attacked because it provides almost no publicity. It's buried back in legal notices. It's maybe reasonably calculated to give appropriate notice under legal standards, but under practical standards, it really doesn't provide a, you know, a very good notice, because how many people read the legal notices in the back of the paper? It really is very inconspicuous, not calculated, nor would I think it would embarrass anybody.
The one other question I have is on page 6, line 6, sub paragraph G. Part of jurisdiction turned out to be, and for what you said, and the child were here, then the court here could require the travel and attorney's fees, everything else, travel to Hawaii.
Okay, that section says it incurred. Costs and fees incurred by other parties, and I guess I would read that to mean that money that had been expended to litigate the matter so far in Alaska. And in every one of these cases, there's going to be some sort of court proceeding in Alaska for the court to determine whether or not to maintain jurisdiction. If everyone has had to come to Alaska, or in the reverse situation, go to Hawaii for that hearing, and it turns out that the parent has wrongfully absconded with a child that shouldn't be in that state, it's in the nature of a penalty to that party to wrongfully commence the proceedings in that state. And I think the use of the word may allows the court some discretion to apply it as a penalty only when that would really be appropriate. And a lot of times, it's a real subjective thing as to what is a good faith child snatching. May gives the court some discretion in that area.
Chairman, the court may already have this power, so it's unclear. The Hawaiian court certainly would when they come before that forum. So if the courts do, in a very aggravated case, if the courts do wish to require somebody to pay an appropriate amount of money, they can do it now. This does clarify the procedure under which it might be done. That's one that a lot of people wonder about also, and it's good to have it in the statute.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, I move we pass House Bill 208 out with that recommendation.
Objection? Support? Thank you very much.